Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and joining me post-draft, after a crazy night, a first night of the 2024 NFL Draft, one, Mr. Brian E. Roach, my buddy, colleague, and pal. How are you doing on this soon-to-be early morning?
I'm tired. I want to go to bed.
You know what? That's the way we get loopy on these. And we're going to keep this one probably to the point. But first of all, man, what a crazy draft. And not necessarily I'm going to say with the Steelers, but all the hoopla over everyone's going to trade out of these picks and all this movement and this and that didn't happen. But you had six quarterbacks go. Five in the top 10?
Six in the first 12. So five in the top 10 and the sixth one in the top 12.
Yeah. And I mean, there was that little bit of activity, and maybe I'm not sure which feed you were watching. I was splitting back and forth. NFL Network, ABC, ESPN. They all had different ABC for being like on regular over the antenna national television. The college game day guys, I'm not saying they don't know what they're doing. It's such a dry broadcast. I couldn't do it. I really liked the crew with Rich Eisen, Charles Davis, Joel Klatt, and Daniel Jeremiah. And Daniel Jeremiah was talking about that pick 10 with the Jets and talking about how maybe they should get bluffed or whatever. And that's what I would do. I'd tell people that my phone's ringing even if it doesn't. So you get something out of that. And I felt like that was what happened at the end of this draft with the Carolina Panthers moving up from 33 to 32. Although with the way these wide receiver contracts are going these days, Amon-Ra St. Brown and AJ Brown just got extended. Oh my goodness, man. What? Like over $100 million from Amon-Ra St. Brown over 4 years. This is insane money. You may as well get back in the first round and grab. That's why everyone's grabbing wide receivers. Although historically, what was there, like 20 some players? I think the over under was like DraftKings, like 20, 21 or something of offensive players. And they have 14 in a row go, which that benefited the Steelers to some degree because look at that, man. Tackles are usually gone flying off the board. And in this, you had six quarterbacks, seven wide receivers. And I have to count how many tackles, but there was at least, I think, five tackles, if not six, that ended up going, including the newest Steeler. So, initial thoughts, I guess, our quick reactions to all of this. Number one, did you think that I'm going to have trouble. I'm going to have to learn how to say this. Troy.
Fontanu.
I always call him Font now. Everybody's screwing
up. I'm just going to call him Troy, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to call him Troy-oo.
I know you're not a pro wrestling guy, but people are already talking. So there's like this, there's a bloodline story kind of character thing. And one of the guys used to play in actually was an NFL player, lower level. Roman Reigns was the leader's whole thing. Puts his finger up. He says, acknowledge me. There's a bunch of like Samoans that are all related in wrestling through the years, family wise, like three generations. And there are people already on Twitter saying, acknowledge this pick with Fontanu. So I didn't think any of the guys with the last name that began with F that we couldn't pronounce were actually going to be there at pick 20. So thank you, everyone else who decided to draft a quarterback or otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, I was very surprised that he was still there at 20. I'll tell you, I still would have taken Barton, but that's me. But I can't argue with the pick. I can't. I mean, it's a huge value. Tomlin and Khan both saying he's not going to play center, so they still have a need. Mm-hmm. I know Tomlin's being cagey and not committing. He's not going to be a left tackle, in my mind. He's going to be a right tackle. His arms are too short to be a left tackle. But we'll see.
But he does have the length, however, mm-hmm. to play tackle. So that is that's the one positive there. Of course, when you look it up, at different places, different draft people such as PFF. PFF had him ranked second among the tackles, or third, I'm sorry, behind Joe Alt, who went early, thankfully. Yeah. You know, he didn't have to sit and wait. His seat didn't get too warm in the green room. And Talis Fuaga.
Although, to be fair, the Chargers fans apparently hate that pick.
Oh, I don't know. Is it because they have... I see Steelers fans already hating on this pick. Now, if they didn't go offensive line, everyone would have been bitching too. So you got to put everybody in their spot. This is what you wanted. You wanted a tackle. You're tired of Dan Moore. And the way you're tired of Dan Moore is you got to shuffle the deck a little bit. And this would allow Broderick Jones to come over and play left tackle, even though this is where Fontano was playing last few seasons. He had we talked about snap counts. Now, we talked about this with Amarius Mims, who, thank you, Cincinnati, for doing us a favor. Hopefully that don't bite me in the ass saying this, but the guy with 8 starts, 2 knee braces, and like 800 collegiate snaps, you look at Fontano, 984 snaps at left tackle last season, 890 snaps in 2022. And he had another 52 as a left guard and a couple as a right tackle. And then he sparsely in 2021, 153 on the left as a tackle and 46 as a left guard. But it's not like they're going to move Isaac Sumalo over. So I had my buddy, a good friend of mine, many years, Browns fan. I lost that. I don't know where it's at. My house divided sign with the Steelers and Browns split. He is a hardcore Browns fan. He didn't have anything to do tonight. They didn't have a pick. But as the pick's coming up, I'm like, don't spoil, because I got YouTube TV and it's like 30 seconds behind. I had to mute the Twitter/X thing. And so he goes, Barton? ? And I said, well, that's who I mocked. That's who we mocked. That's who you mocked. And I said, but Fontano sitting there is going to be really hard to pass on. And then I also pondered, like, they didn't really look at Mitchell. And then the pick comes in by the time I say anything else. So, and everybody's going to be like, oh, you're just going to defend it. You always got to love the picks. Well, you got to love the picks. That's what the draft is. You got to like, and you got to put some like faith into what the front office is doing here or what they see. And this is a guy that I think Kuiper and Yates had ranked like 10th. And I think Jeremiah had ranked 11th. That has to be a tremendous value. And if it pans out the way they have it ranked, then this will be reminiscent of the David DeCastro pick a decade plus ago.
Yeah, you know, look, the kid is crazy athletic. He grew up a Steelers fan. He was tweeting at the Steelers during playoff games in 2021. He's like, there's the whole storybook aspect to it in that sense. But just watch the tape on this kid, and he's very, very athletic. And I think he can provide a lot of stability on the offensive line, right? And he's just mean and nasty, and he's a Steeler kind of guy, right? I think it's a foundational piece, which is what we were talking about the other day. They need to get foundational pieces on the offensive line. He's going to be a foundational piece. Probably at the right tackle, maybe at the left tackle. I don't know. I'm assuming it will be right tackle. But we'll see how that all pans out. But if you got Broderick Jones and you've got Troifu here on the other side, you've got bookends. You've got the two guards. You got to do something about the middle of the line.
That's coming.
But it's coming.
Yes. Yeah, I believe that's coming, and we'll take a look at best available. Just some initial thoughts. Number one overall is we didn't expect him to be there. We thought that Fashino, Fuaga, Fontano, those are the three. Thought they would all be off the board. Thought maybe, you know, Guyton might be there. Latham goes pretty early there, seventh overall to the Titans. I was like, ooh, okay. So it just goes to show you that everybody that has their big boards and their draft experts, they don't always know. what's going to end up happening. And I believe now the Steelers, Omar Khan, you said Mike Tomlin, the lip service, we view him as a tackle, but they also had made a comment that was out there corroborated by Joe Reuter and Mark Caboli of The Athletic. Joe Reuter's with the PG, right? I believe so. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. So, or is he with the Tribune Review? He's with one of the papers. So, but both beat writers for the Steelers corroborating that they had their phone ring. They could have moved back, but they didn't want to move back too far. I'm assuming they would have moved back significantly enough, several picks that way maybe Fontano wasn't in, or Fontano. Oh, I don't know how to say his name. I apologize. Yes, we will get to know you very well. But,
and I still won't be able to say your name.
Yeah.
Right. I'll love you, but I won't be able to say your name right.
The compensation must have not been what they might have wanted to move back just a few spots and felt comfortable enough that they would still get their guy or have somebody within that target range that they valued as much. So looking at the overall of the draft just real quickly, Brian, we'll go from the very top. No surprise with Caleb Williams. Jaden Daniels to the Commanders, Drake May to the Patriots, Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals, Joe Alt to the Chargers. Those are your top five. The next five, Malik Nabers to the Giants, J.C. Latham to the Titans. The biggest surprise of the night, probably Michael Penix Jr. to the Atlanta Falcons, who just spent a boatload of money on Kirk Cousins. That'll be interesting. That one's going to be a fun one to watch, new coaching staff and all. Rome Odunze, he was on the plane with Caleb Williams. That ended up working out just like a match made in heaven there. He goes 9 to the Bears. J.J. McCarthy in a trade-up of the Vikings moving up to 10 and swapping with the New York Jets, who take the offensive tackle, Ole Fashanu from Penn State. Your next several picks, did the Broncos kind of panic picking Bo Nix? I think they did, because very much so their own division opponent, the Raiders, are on the clock right afterwards. I think they got tremendous value with Brock Bowers, the tight end out of Georgia. Another tackle off the board. No surprise that we thought that the Saints would be in the ballpark for one. Taliese Fuaga, Oregon State. And then finally you have a defensive player, Laiatu Latu, UCLA, goes to the Colts. Byron Murphy, defensive player to the Seahawks. We thought maybe offensive player there. Run on defense. Dallas Turner to the Minnesota Vikings. And then Amarius Mims, tackle, Georgia, over to the Bengals at 18. Jared Verse, the edge, out of Florida State, to the Rams at 19. And then the Steelers were on the clock and got Fontanu. So, of everybody that fell from those 19 picks, disappointed in missing out on anyone at all, like really that you thought would have been within like the range of the Steelers? Or do you think the board just really came to them, right?
The board absolutely came to them. I mean, they had their choice of wherever they wanted to go, with the bonus of Troy not really being anticipated to be there. Whether they admit this is, and whether this is lip service or not, they've stated he was the top guy on their board all along that they thought they would have a shot at. So, I mean, you know, Tomlin and Khan have got their little comedy duo going on with the whole, oh, it was the longest 10 minutes of my life, he wore me out thing. It was cute. It was very cute. But whether that's real or not, I don't know. They already admit they play with people, right? So.
Oh, but yeah, let me cut in on that. That's what I think Mims was.
Yeah.
I think they showed a little extra there because Cincinnati panicked. Maybe Pittsburgh will move ahead. They traded last year. Little mind games maybe within the division.
I'm not surprised that, I mean, look, Cincinnati seems to perpetually need offensive line. Burrow's just getting beaten up. So I'm not surprised they took an offensive lineman. I they took a guy with 8 starts. Hey, okay, great. Whatever. I'm happy with that. Let's see how TJ handles, or how that guy handles TJ. And here's, you know, I don't think anybody thought that Troy was going to be there. As everybody said, the last time we drafted a Troy whose last name ended with an ooh, it worked out pretty well. Right.
Okay.
You know, that would be Troy Polamalu, for those who are not following. Fontanau is, he's is nothing like you should be excited with the pick.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
I mean, absolutely. You know, it is. It's a good and solid pick. It's not what I wanted, but it's a good and solid pick. And I'll be content. Like if Zach Frazier shows up in the second round, I'll be content.
I'll be more than content if Jackson Powers Johnson shows up.
I'll be ecstatic. I'll be thrilled if they trade up to get one of those two guys in the second round, because I don't think either one of them will be there at 51.
Yeah, and that is tough. That's definitely tough to say for sure. I'm going to look at the back end now, everything that happened after pick 20, because I certainly thought some teams may have been in the market for linemen. We saw Graham Barton go in the first round. And it's interesting because quite a few of these picks, you know, Jordan Morgan goes pick 25 to the Packers.
That's that one right there. That's the surprising tackle that I don't think most people thought was going to go in the first round.
And is he going to play tackle at the next level? Or is he play guard?
Play guard. Right? Yeah. Same thing. He's got short arms.
Yeah. That's the overall Tyler Guyton. You know, he's coming in with the Cowboys, and it's like a lot of talk about what they do with their existing linemen. Does somebody kick inside? Do they draft somebody kicks inside? So the offensive linemen this year have been a very intriguing. I think outside of Joe Ault, you don't have somebody who's just like, yeah, they're drafting them and they're playing them here. No doubt about it. It's like, well, right. You know, Fautanu, he might be a guard or a center, and he could play all. That's the other thing. Versatility. He could play all along. So while they're saying tackle now, depending on what happens tomorrow and it's throughout the rest of the draft, particularly day two is going to mold the rest of this. The Steelers with three picks rounding out this top 100. And we know their needs. Center, we've talked about wide receiver, whether or not they trade one of these picks. Ayuk's still going to be sitting there. The 49ers just took a wide receiver at the end of this draft. So now that seat's getting warm. But I'm like, for the love of God, if I could channel my inner Chris Farley, for the love of God, can everybody stop paying wide receivers so maybe the Steelers could get a deal on a guy? Like, my goodness. And if you saw, what was the one pick that got moved around here? And I saw, like, that might have been just the Vikings just to move up one spot. I swear they paid more than what the Steelers did to go from 20 to 10 years ago for Devin Bush with the Broncos.
Oh, yeah, they paid a lot to move up
one spot. They must have been like, hey, these other – somebody – man – somebody really got the bug in their ear and was like, hey, we're getting a little more from team whatever, you know, fill in the blank. They're offering this and this and really buttered them up, man. So anyways, Chop Robinson, one of the Penn State edges, goes to the Dolphins at 21. Toledo corner, Quinion Mitchell to the Eagles, 22. Brian Thomas Jr. finally off the board, the fourth wide receiver and far from the last, and a pick that kept bouncing around and originally started as the Cleveland Browns pick that went into the Deshaun Watson trade. That was pick 23 to Jacksonville. Brian Thomas, junior wide receiver, LSU. Tyrion Arnold, Detroit Lions. 275,000 people in Detroit, Brian. Wild. Crazy. I'm glad I didn't go. I'm not going to lie. But the corner out of Alabama off the board there. Jordan Morgan, we already mentioned, 25 to the Packers. Graham Barton out of Duke, formerly offensive tackle, penciled in as interior lineman, probably center to Tampa Bay Buccaneers, pick 26. Yep. 27th, the Cardinals get Darius Robinson, defensive end, Missouri. That was somebody that the Steelers, I think, did have in for a top 30 visit. So one target that ended up off the board there on the back end here for sure. Xavier Worthy, fastest guy at the combine, to the Chiefs at 28, who moved up there to get him. Bills moved back twice.
Yeah. And they talked about this. Look, I had the unfortunate laziness of landing on ESPN and having to listen to Mel Kiper. And I just was too tired to change the channel. I just couldn't do it. But, you know, they are all aghast at the fact that the Bills, who are, competing heavily with the Chiefs in the AFC, would allow the Chiefs to go up and take a wide receiver when the Bills desperately need a wide receiver. And it was interesting, since the Bills just kept moving back and finally just said, screw it, we don't even want to take a first-round pick. We're going to take more picks later in the draft.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got to see what all their draft haul was, because they came around with some extra here. And guess what? When you're paying a quarterback like you're paying Josh Allen, you need some cheap contracts to fill out. You need to hit on some draft picks. And so the more the merrier. You know, I'm not going to knock it. I'm not going to knock it at all. It's everybody's dream scenario to be like, oh, trade back and get all of this. I mean, did you not see the mock draft insanity we just ran? where were we? I was going to start looking at the
Chiefs.
Yeah, I was going to look at the names.
Worthy to the Chiefs.
And I got to go back now, and we're going to have to see how up to date everything else is for the draft order for tomorrow, and with the trades and everything that screwed it up. But yeah, Xavier Worthy. So maybe another Cheetah, another Tyreek Hill type for Patrick Mahomes. Tyler Guyton, 29th overall to the Dallas Cowboys. That was the tackle from Oklahoma. I would have been happy with him too. Especially if you're a 29 and you get them, you know what I mean? That's a good pick, I think, for the Cowboys, what they needed. The one I always hate the Ravens picks, because I always feel like they draft so damn well, and they get Nate Wiggins out of Clemson, and that's going to be a solid pick for them. He's like 6'1". They said he's back up to like 180-ish. He's a fast dude too. Closing speed. He's just got all the tools. What surprised me was, though, the final two. I wasn't sure these guys were going to go in the first round. 49ers take Ricky Pearsall out of Florida. Both of
that
these
was
guys
a little thought that was receivers. High.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then over Xavier Leggett, who the Panthers get back into round one here, 32nd overall, trade with the Bills, the South Carolina wide receiver. So 7 wide receivers end up going, some guys that are off the board, and we got to start looking at who's left. So we've already mentioned 2 of the centers, possible second round targets, but probably not third round targets.
No, definitely not third round targets. And the same is going to be true for a lot of these wide receivers, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other Texas wide receiver is still on the board, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so Donnie Mitchell. Donnie Mitchell, A.D. Mitchell is the safe bet to say his name.
Yeah.
So
he's still on the board. He's not going to last till the third round for sure. My gut is they go center in the second round, and then they look in the third round to fill out whatever else they want to do. That's just my gut. Whether they have to move up to get him, I don't know. We'll have to see. And who is it going to be? I don't know. We'll have to see.
Yeah. After that, I think it gets to be slim pickings. You could still find a starter in later rounds, or you may be forced to play that starter. We've constantly mentioned about that. You take the Kendrick Green risk, but you've had like guys that have, let me correct myself if I'm wrong, but the first name that popped into my head was like JC Treader. And I think JC Treader, when he was playing, he was a 4th round pick. And I also want to say Mitch Morse was also one of these later round picks that have had pretty solid careers. Oh, he was a 2nd rounder, pick 49. We don't want that. We want pick 51. So
I could be wrong, and I could be misremembering. I mean, I was 11 at the time. Mike Webster, I'm pretty sure, was a 4th round
pick. Well, yes, sir. And,
the greatest center of all time.
in ancient history, probably not even as valued, as today, technology, analytics, sports science, a whole bunch of things get into this process. And I don't know if you caught a peek of the Colts war room at one point, but it looked like all the walls were whiteboard. And I swear on the back wall, they had 32. I think they had all 32 depth charts or rosters laid out, because there was just so many columns of like, that's not position groups. Because then they had another wall that had like larger stuff, and it looked like their board, and that's wild. I'm like, then you got the Rams, who have like their webcam like pointed like kind of like at a wall similar to mine, and it's like, we're not showing you anything. Like, because just what you need is somebody to zoom in. I always think about that when they had the sheets, and then people start seeing 32 spider Y or whatever that would be like on Andy Reid's Waffle House menu. So yeah. The picks tomorrow, we start with the Buffalo Bills, New England Patriots, the Cardinals, Commanders, Chargers, Titans, and then the Panthers are on the clock again at 39 before the Commanders are again at 40. I keep looking around and I'm like, oh boy, can we get a center to get past the first 10? And you know what? Even if they don't, just as long as both of them don't go, I think we'd be happy with either guy from Oregon or West Virginia, that being Jackson Powers Johnson or Zach Frazier.
Yeah, I agree. If either one of them, if they can jump up to get one, or one of them happens to fall far enough, I think they're ecstatic, right? You know, they're not going to give up a lot of capital to try and move up into the high 30s, I don't think. You know, but if you know, if they get down to about 42 and one, let's say both of them are there, let's be super optimistic, right? And both of them are there, then you, yeah, because they're, when you look at the needs of a lot of these teams that draft right around the same time as we do, offensive line is always a need. It's a need for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Are there tons of them that need centers at this point? I don't know. But, you know, if you can get them both down at that range, you got a shot at sticking put and maybe one falls to you. If one of them goes before then I think the only way they get the other one is to move.
Yeah, and after that, who would it be? You might be
Center
going
Van Pran.
It's probably the next, along with Penn State's Hunter Norzad, who had a top 30
or visit. The guy from Arkansas.
And I think Limmer might go, Bo Limmer might be a little further down the list.
He would be, yeah.
Maybe like a fourth rounder. So, I mean, we're going to get, what, rounds 2 and 3 tomorrow night, and a 3 picks, what, 51? Hold on, Brian. It's 51, I wanted to say. I keep forgetting, which is very
bad. I just remember
on
the
part.
Last one is 98.
98 was easy to remember, and yeah. 84. I keep forgetting that other pick.
How can you forget 84? Mr. Big Checks.
Well, now that's Cordarrelle. Now it's Flash. It's Cordarrelle Patterson. Or Cordarrelle Patterson, I'm sorry.
It's CP.
Yeah, CP. CP run. I think that's what his Twitter is, something like that. But, yeah, and then after it kind of falls off a cliff, and I know they looked at, there was, like, the kid from South Dakota State that was somewhere in this, too, Mason McCormick, which may be a far later pick, and I think maybe riskier. They've also been on the record as saying they have guys that can play center on the roster.
I know they keep saying that. They don't.
So you have Nate Herbig. Yeah. Yeah. It makes me wonder, well, were they going to play him over Cole? But have you looked at Herbig's contract? It's something that I thought about today. It was one of those things like where Doc Brown discovers the flux capacitor while he's standing over his toilet. And I was like, you know, they are paying. Nate Herbig has a $5.4 million cap hit this season. And he's in the final year of his contract. That's a pretty healthy contract for a backup guard that didn't really see a lot of action last year. So it does make me wonder.
I'm just saying.
I wouldn't be comfortable.
If they all fall, right, and it doesn't fall their way and they don't find one, they're going to call Mason Cole.
That's a possibility. Well, I was also thinking, I think I said Connor McGovern, but I meant Connor Williams on the last show.
The other possibility, too.
Miami Dolphins. And I think if I had to look at this too, McGovern, who was with the Jets last year, is, I believe he's still a free agent. So there's still another guy that's out there on the waiver wire type thing. And it's another thing if they miss on wide receiver too, because then you could go back to the well and maybe get the phone ringing for Tyler Boyd again to add somebody that's a more of a veteran presence opposite George Pickens. So, you know, they don't have to necessarily reach out and make this trade for Brandon Ayuk. They could just let the 49ers pound sand and have to deal with it. So I'm looking, Mason Cole, Brian Allen, formerly of the Rams. He's had some injury history. Connor McGovern. I had the wrong Connor originally. And then, I was looking for Connor Williams, but I'm not seeing him on this list currently. So I'm actually going to look him up again real quick because they have him technically listed as a guard, as left guard and not center. So there are some options, but they are, you know, let's play through the draft first and then maybe pick up the red emergency bat phone. So if they don't go center, where do you go and who might be the best available that's still left? Let's say wide receiver looks like a big hole, because we said Dante Jackson's there. He could play and start opposite Joey Porter Jr. So with all the wide receivers that went, Adonai Mitchell's still out there. I don't know if he lands all the way down to 51. Troy Franklin from Oregon, Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman, Roman Wilson, Jalen Polk, Malachi Corley, who had a visit with them. And I don't know, there's Jermaine Burton from Alabama, Devontae Walker, North Carolina, Javon Baker from Central Florida, another Florida State guy, Johnny Wilson, Jalen McMillan, Washington. You're starting to get it, you know, almost headed out of the top 100 with some of the rankings and players that are available. Malik Washington out of Virginia, and that's where you're at if you're looking at the Pro Football Focus big board and top 100. I do kind of like McMillan, but there's nothing really there to substantiate any links between him and the Steelers. 6'1", 192. I mean, there was Polk and Adunze were on that team too, so he kind of got like a little overshadowed in that offense with Michael Penix Jr. So I don't know. There's always guys to look at. Like I said, even like Malachi Corley, a bunch of teams were interested in him. He's a utility gadget guy. Where does he fall? Western Kentucky guy. His name was mentioned before the first round was even done by Daniel Jeremiah, and two other guys went. So, and two other guys that were further down, a lot of the names that I just mentioned, even on the, Pro Football Wizards board here.
I think, A.D. Mitchell is probably not going to fall that far, right? The rest of that group, who knows? Some of them, they're at least two or three of them are going to go before 51 for sure. Corley maybe. Who's the other one?
McConkey, probably McConkey, Troy Franklin.
Troy Franklin, maybe. Yeah. You just have to see. There's going to be a wide receiver that'll be there. Right. So the question will be, if your centers are gone, then you probably hit on a wide receiver in the second round. They've got a good track record of drafting wide receivers in the second round, or at least we feel like they have a good track record of drafting wide receivers in the second round. Let me say what I'm going to say about this. They seem to have a good track record of drafting wide receivers in the second round for two or three years in the league, as long as they stay with the Steelers. But when they leave, they disappear off the face of the earth.
even Juju, I guess, to some degree.
Juju,
I mean,
Juju has done nothing since he's been.
I know there was. It's almost like they're batting like it's a coin flip, like 50%. You know what I mean? It's because you can go all the way back to Marcus Wheaton. Sammy Coates was a third rounder.
Johnson was Martavius Bryant's replacement.
Yeah. Oh man, remember all that noise? Oh geez. Anyway, they were tweeting at each other about that. That's going way back. And then Juju, James Washington, George Pickens. So yeah, it's about 50-50 there. And some of those guys had great success, and then some of them and then immediately when they're gone, it's like they're gone. Who was that guy? I'm looking at like the teams that already took a wide receiver though. Like the Bills are looking at this. They have all night to think about it and maybe take a wide receiver. Maybe Mitchell goes there. I don't know.
I would not be shocked if Adonai Mitchell doesn't go to the Bills at 33.
Yeah. I mean, the Patriots, they need all kind of help. They could use help there too, but the Cardinals, like they just got Marvin Harrison Jr. Commanders. That's like a, maybe they've got two picks in these first 10 here. Chargers, they lost like all their guys, like Mike Williams, Keenan Allen,
and then they drafted a tackle, so they're going to take somebody.
Yeah, and I mean they still might go after more, line help, defense. You never know.
They might.
Titans, I mean they're pretty set at wide receiver. I think Panthers just took another guy and they traded for Deontay Johnson. I think they're set. Packers, kind of middling, maybe. Yeah. You never know. Texans, I think are more than set. They're at 42. Falcons could be okay. Raiders somewhere in the middle. Saints, I think that might be too rich for them. I think that's another one where you got to worry about what they do with offensive line, but I don't think they're looking center. Colts are next. Giants, Jaguars, Bengals, Eagles, and then the Steelers are back on the clock. Eagles are pretty set at wide receiver. Bengals, unless they're going to trade away T. Higgins, who's now demanding a trade along with Trey Hendrickson. Boy, everybody just wants to leave town.
What happens when you have a $250 million quarterback?
Yeah.
Can't pay everybody.
Yeah, or they just don't like chili on their spaghetti. So
well, then they should state that they're wrong.
I'll agree with you on this one.
That's the part they're wrong.
I'll agree with you on that one. That is an interesting cuisine, my friend, and it is an acquired taste for those who haven't tried it. But barring somebody else like moving, you know, switching and moving up here, I don't know that five wide receivers will be gone by the time the Steelers are on the clock.
I don't think five will be.
Yeah. Now, as far as like cornerback, I don't know that there's anybody that they gave a whole lot of. There's Max Melton and Andrew Phillips, who look like guys that can be moved around. And in mock drafts, Max Melton out of Rutgers, he's 6 foot, 190 listed here. And then Andrew Phillips out of Kentucky, basically the same size. Basically the same age. These are guys that could play some press coverage. They look like they could be like slot or nickel guys. They could also play on the boundary. They both had top 30 visits. It's just anybody's guess as to where they go and where the Steelers are ultimately thinking about that center position, because I still think they got to get out of the draft with the center. But I think that covers most of who's left other than a guy that we were doing a lot on these mock drafts, the insanity, everything else. Braden Fisk out of Florida State. Where's he going to end up? Defensive lineman. You look at, 35-year-old Cam Hayward, about to be, 30 years old. Larry Ogunjobi is turning 30 before camp opens up. Ogunjobi has a huge cap hit next year. Cam's just under contract with his huge cap hit for one more year. Had some injuries. DeMarvin Leal has regressed last year. We don't know if it was any kind of nagging injuries or something that kept him kind of, sidelined or inactive. Isaiah Loudermilk is another reserve defensive lineman on the Steelers depth chart that he's in the final year of his rookie contract. And he's mainly just a guy that kind of goes out there with the special teams unit and sometimes gives a blow to some of the other dudes. Keanu Benton is entrenched. He's the future. Well, I mean, that's where Loudermilk is. Do you see Loudermilk getting a second contract?
No, but I just didn't like the terminology you gave.
Oh, okay. So I try to mix it up with colorful language, but you, sir, are making it too colorful.
Well, you set me up. Like, you could just say give him a break.
Yeah, that's true. Now that they took Fontano, I think some of the later tackle guys, like out of Pitt, Goncalves, who had injury concerns. Maybe that's a reason he slides. I don't think that's somebody that they're looking at tomorrow. He may slide further. Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame could go earlier.
I don't think they look at a tackle again.
Not
now.
Again.
No. I don't see them double dipping at tackle.
Nope. Any other favorites that you have here? I got one more that's really sticking out for me. And of course, I'm just going to keep, pounding my fist on the desk for the true bloodlines, although they are true bloodlines, even though it was WWE. Those guys are all really related and cousins and stuff in real life. That's not like some wrestling.
I understand. I know. You want the McCaffrey kid.
I want McCaffrey, yeah, because then you still need a punt returner. You need somebody. You're not going to put Fontano out there as a punt returner, so you're going to need somebody to return punts.
I'd pay money to see that.
Yeah, well, we almost got it with Kendrick Green last year during training camp. A big rumbling fullback, but anybody else that's among your favorites from all of these mock drafts that we've done? Cooper DeJean is still out there too, by the way.
Yeah, he'll go
before, I think so too.
It gets to us where I'm not sure, but he'll go. I think people are just concerned about what to do with him, whether they're going to make him a corner, whether they're going to make him a safety, and they just don't know exactly how he's going to fit in. But he'll still go. He's too good of a player to not go.
Yeah.
There's still a niggling, as you said, like there's a sneaky niggling need for a defensive lineman someplace. And I don't know who it is though. That's my issue, right? This is one of the few years where I paid very little attention to mid-round defensive line prospects, because I just felt like we had other needs that we were going to have to focus on. And we still may, right? I still think we do, but if we can't get those needs met, there is a defensive line need.
There is, and perhaps it's somebody like Mason Smith who had a top 30 visit out of LSU. Could be a day three target. We might be talking about that later. And then Northern Iowa's Christian Boyd, who I said, he could even be a UDFA for all we know. But I think, how many picks are there in this specific draft for Mr. Irrelevant? Will be 257. Yeah, he could fall out of there. I mean, the Steelers, they don't have a seventh round pick currently. They got a couple that are in the sixth round. There's no fifth round pick for Pittsburgh this year either. So we'll be talking about that a little more maybe tomorrow, or maybe I will. We'll have to see if Flash is sober too, because did you see his video on Twitter? Go check it out. He was like all over.
I did.
They could literally do anything in his hair. I am jealous. He was all over. He had a football in his hand.
He did.
He was holding it like Wilson and Tom Hanks with Castaway.
I enjoyed the suspense of his video, in that he was like, the pick is it, the pick is it. And that was the end of the video.
That's great. So yeah, we'll have to see. Logan Lee out of Iowa also had a top 30 visit, and he's another kind of day three target. So they might not jump the gun. Fisk is really, I think, the one, aside from if you want to take into account, they go to like everybody's pro days practically, that they could target somebody from Michigan or somebody from Ohio State or something, or Texas, anything like that. But that'll do it for us, folks. And we'll be back at you with more stuff after day two of the NFL draft. I'd say tomorrow, but by the time you're listening to this, it'll be today, which
is tomorrow.
Technically it's today. It's tough to know what day or time. Depends on the time zone, too. So,
well, that's true. For us, it's today.
Yep. So I think
it was yesterday when they drafted a tackle. Yeah, today is a different day.
Oh, my goodness. I wish it were yesterday again. So waited so long for the NFL draft. The great mystery, a lot of great mysteries filled in, many more to go. Brian, thanks for joining me once again, folks.
And just as a as a little reminder, I will be camping, so I will not be back until after. So I'll be hoping I have cell service so I can find out what the hell happens the next 2 days.
Yeah, you're going to have a fourth round pick that's going to be Luke McCaffrey, and then the rest are going to be the sixth round picks. I haven't felt so confident since I was feeling confident about Keanu Benton. The only thing was, I wasn't feeling confident that Keanu Benton was going to be there, but Joey Porter Jr. was the same way. And it's like last year, it's tough to beat last year's draft. It was literally Christmas Day and all the predictions were spot on. And then this year it's just like, wow, you have no idea where it's really headed. We're wanting center. I think it's time. Let's keep investing in the offensive line. Got to snap the ball to these quarterbacks, these new guys that are there, and then maybe work on the rest. But you also got to give them somebody to throw the ball to also. So it's going to be intriguing to see how this pans out. But obviously, JPJ is probably not going to be there at pick 84, nor would I
believe.
Then Zach Frazier should not be there at 84 either.
No.
These teams will start looking at least for them to play interior offensive line and play guard over center, even if they don't have a center need. There's several teams that are still in that category. There's a lot of bad football teams that are picking ahead of the Steelers because they weren't postseason teams. So they weren't postseason teams. They need help. And they could always use help. Where do you start? In the trenches. Steelers also need that help too. So folks, that'll do it for us. Until next time, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. My name's Joe. And his name is Brian. We encourage everyone out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.